Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear. Like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Alan Cockrell, our guest. Speaking of multiple sports, let's talk multiple positions in baseball for Ohtani. What a story this guy has been. He's out right now with the blister on his hand. But you've certainly been in the clubhouse. How would you manage that? A guy who can come in and pitch at a very high level, but also swing the bat as well as he does.
How would you manage that? That's a good question. You know, I look at the manager of that ball club, Mike Socia, whom I know a little bit. And I can tell you this right now, as much as Ohtani wants to be in there every day when he's not pitching, Socia's going to take a look at his club, and he's going to do what's best for it. He's going to look at matchups where he feels like Ohtani would fit best against a certain pitcher. I've watched him a little bit, and I see some glaring holes, and I'm a hitting guy, so if I can see him, you know, pitching coaches across the league, it's not going to take long for them to start attacking some of these things. So, I think Soch will just play it close to the vest. He'll try to protect him a little bit, and he'll put him in matchups where it's favorable for not only Ohtani but their ball club.
Alan, we've discussed this on air before, and it drives me crazy how pitchers in the National League can't be slightly better hitters, because most of these guys grew up and they were the best athletes on their team and they were great hitters. And some point along the way, they can no longer hit. And it infuriates us. When you were a hitting instructor, what was it like working with pitchers in terms of hitting? And little things like putting down a sacrifice bunt can be really difficult for pitchers at times. And that's also part of their job. What did you see when you were working with pitchers that were also hitting?
Well, honestly, you know, they didn't work at that part of the craft that diligently. They did hit every day. They bunted every day. But they didn't work at hitting like they would, even remotely close to how they would work, you know, in a side session and on, you know, out in the bullpen. In fact, I didn't spend a lot of time with those guys. We had a guy, designated guy that was in charge of doing all of that. And, we had a decent hitting club in Colorado. The best hitting club that I've seen or organization over years has been St. Louis. And St. Louis, actually, they put in time, and their starting pitchers come to the cage just like a hitter. They come to the cage in between starts three times. So 3 out of 4 days, they come to the cage. They put in, you know, a 5-10 minute session of drill work, and they actually talk about approach and mechanics. And over the years, St. Louis has done a pretty good job offensively with their pitching staff.
Curious, I'm a Yankee guy, displaced New Jersey guy. Gary Sanchez can hit, no doubt.
Yeah.
I cannot handle him defensively, and I thought maybe it was the disconnect with Girardi and that Boone and his staff would get him in better shape. I mean, a bounced throw to the plate for a play at the plate, he looks less than 50-50 to me to make contact with his glove, better yet catch it. And yeah. Pass balls and wild pitches seem to me to be a huge thing with him. How could he be this bad?
Oh, man. You know, he's an offensive guy. You nailed it. Gary's a great athlete. And, I mean, you know, he has a cannon for an arm. The issue is, and I probably shouldn't say it, but I'm going to anyway, Gary's just not a real high-energy guy. And at that position – you know, the catching position is basically the heartbeat of your club when you're on the field. And you want a high-energy guy. Do you remember Tony Pena in his playing days? I mean, Tony Pena was jumping around all over the field. I mean, the game just went boom, boom, boom. And Gary's not that guy. Gary's more concerned about what he's going to do at the plate. And his energy is just, it lacks a little bit, you know, especially behind the plate. Now, I know Joe and Tony last year, when all of this went on with Gary, they took Gary aside and they said, look, you've got to step it up. And you've got to give us more effort and more energy in blocking balls. Basically, because what was happening, our pitchers, they didn't want to pitch to Gary. And that's the honest truth. They would rather pitch to Austin Romine, our backup, who was a defense first catcher, offense second. And they just set Gary down for 2 days, which, as is the general rule in Major League Baseball, when you give a guy a day off, generally you give them two so that you have two good work days. So Tony and Joe took Gary to the bullpen, and they worked on blocking balls. They worked on setup. They worked on balance behind the plate and to kind of quicken his reactions on balls in the dirt. But Gary just didn't really want to get better at that side of the game. I saw recently that he had his first pass ball of the year just a few days ago, which is, you know, it's pretty good. He's probably caught, what, 10 or 11 ball games by now. And, I mean, there were times last year when Gary was, I mean, it wasn't uncommon to have a couple of pass balls per game. And they just, you know, they unfortunately came at inopportune times, and it cost some major runs, some costly runs. But the big thing with Gary is he's got to take pride in that part of the game, because starting pitchers and that relationship with the catcher has got to come ahead of hitting, and that's just the way it is.
Alan Cockrell, our guest here on the Midday 180.
Aaron Judge has such a unique swing, but also a unique player in that his on-base percentage is really good because he's perfectly willing to take a walk. You were around for some of the development of that swing. Tell us a little bit about how much of that just comes naturally and what kind of work he's put into refining it to make himself what he is right now.
Yeah, he's put a lot of work in. You know, first of all, pitchers are scared to death of this guy. And rightfully so. He's 6'7", 275 pounds with about 7% body fat. He's a monster. His main goal going into last year is to try to create a path that was going to get the ball airborne. And we went through some different things back and forth. He would tend to sit on his backside a little bit too much. And it was working uphill, but it would work out of the zone a little too quickly. Made him very susceptible to off-speed pitches, breaking balls. And we just tried to keep him centered, keep the head more in the center of the body as opposed to sitting over the back shoulder or the back hip. But he's I think, watching him this year, he looks much more comfortable in his own skin. He looks like he's in a better position to hit. And his approach is solid. You know, pitchers have to try to pitch him in because he's a big guy with long levers and they don't want him to get extended. But that's easier said than done. You know, a lot of pitchers have a hard time getting it in there for a strike, and he's become a more disciplined hitter, kind of like Gregorius this year. Become a more disciplined hitter, a more patient hitter, and he's willing to take a strike on a pitch that he can't handle that well and be comfortable enough to hit with one strike or two strikes, knowing that he's just one mistake away from doing damage. He looks as good as I've ever seen him, better, actually.
The Braves are off to a surprisingly solid start, and they've got maybe their top guy, certainly their top guy in their farm system, maybe the top farm system guy in baseball, and Ronald Acuna waiting in the wings, ready to take the leap to the majors. When you look at a situation like that, how do you think the Braves are doing in handling it? And of course, there's contract ramifications of why they haven't brought him up to start the season. But how do you ease a guy like that into your lineup when you know that he's someone who's he's batted better at every level he goes up? His batting average and home runs actually go up. How do you handle that?
Well, you know, I think first of all, I think, you know, they talk about starting the clock on a kid. You know, you want to make sure that a kid's ready before you start the clock on their arbitration and free agency years. But the bottom line, as we all know, with the Braves and any other major league club, you need to win. And you are going to call up or put players on your major league club that can help you win. At this point, I don't think the Braves think that he is quite ready in some other areas. I think they probably would like to see a more disciplined hitter. They would probably like to see a hitter that controls the strike zone a little bit better, doesn't expand the strike zone on breaking balls and change-ups. You know, he had a great spring training, but in spring training you see a lot of fastballs. You don't see the same type of pitch sequencing that you see during a regular season. You know, there's an old rule in baseball. You never put too much stock into how well a guy does in spring training or in September, when the rosters expand and the talent is diluted just a little bit. But I think what they want to see is they want to see a more disciplined approach from this kid. You know, it's not about really hitting the breaking ball. It's about taking the ones that you shouldn't even be swinging at. And I think that's kind of where they are right now. They're waiting for him to show a little bit more discipline and a little bit more of a refined approach. And when they feel comfortable with that, I think they'll call him up because, he's a talented kid. You watch him. I watched him in spring training a little bit, and he's capable of doing a lot of things, and he's capable of beating you in a lot of different ways, you know, with his bat and his legs and his glove. He's someone that the Braves want, but they want to make sure that these other things are refined because you get him up there too early. They don't quite have the discipline in an approach. And major league pitchers are going to expose that. And you don't want a huge amount of failure and have to send the kid back down. So they just want to make sure that aspect of his game is ready to go.
You know, on the opposite end of the spectrum is Jose Bautista, who's now late in his career. His batting average has gone down year after year the last 5 years. The Braves signed him to a minor league deal. How do you handle a situation like that where I know they're signing him as sort of a developmental process here to get him back, but clearly a guy they hope can help them at some point at third base.
Right, I agree. I think, you know, right now, I've seen a lot of Jose Bautista the last 3 years in Toronto, being in New York. I think, you know, right now he's just going through what is his spring training, and they're going to give him probably 50 to 80 at-bats, and they're going to gauge what they see. I noticed a little bit last year that there was some decline in some bat speed, and that happens with guys as they get a little bit older, having to cheat a little bit, which makes you more susceptible to secondary pitches, off-speed pitches away. But Jose Bautista is a pro, and I think that if he can and Atlanta's got a good ballpark to hit in, so I think that if he can just get his legs underneath him, get the timing back, see the breaking balls in game situations. Again, everything that you do in a spring training setting, they'll have a pretty good idea of what they want to do. And after 50, 70, 80 at bats, and probably make that decision at that time. I do think he's going to be good for those younger kids at the minor league level. He's a pro. He knows how to go about his business. He's going to be a wealth of knowledge for those younger players who are, trying to get there. And I'm sure, you know, he's got deep pockets. He's probably going to buy some pretty nice spreads for those guys after games too.
Alan, is there a team not off to a great start who you feel like will be around for the long haul?
There's a few, actually. I think the Nationals are the real deal, and they're not off to a great start, but I think they have too many weapons to kind of be a 500 club over the course of the year. I think they're going to get it going. I would be surprised that the Dodgers don't get it going, and improve upon where they are right now. And then in the American League, I'm going to have to say the Yankees. You know, offensively, they're going to score runs. Stanton is going through some issues right now of changing leagues, not familiar with the pitchers that he's seen on a daily basis, but that'll work itself out. The bullpen, I think, who's under a lot of scrutiny at this point in time, I think that will work itself out. But the issue that I see going forward with the Yankees is starting pitching. You know, they have CeCe, who's up there in years. They have Tanaka, who's got the ulnar collateral ligament in the elbow situation. Both those guys are injury risks. Montgomery is he's a young kid, talented left-hander, good stuff, but he's still getting his feet wet in the big leagues. Sonny Gray, since coming to New York, has really had some command issues. He's a high pitch count guy in every start that I've seen last year and from the starts that I've seen this year. I mean, he's nearing a pitch limit by the fourth or fifth inning. Now, their number one is a horse. Severino's the real deal, and he's going to give them quality starts. But their starting pitching, for me, could go either way. And it needs to get into that sixth inning so that you've got the David Robinsons, the Canelys, the Chad Greens, and the Chapman. Betances is a little bit on the fence with his command issues. But, you know, I still think that that's a ball club that's gonna get it going, and I think they're going to be a force in the AL.
Alan Cockrell has been our guest, longtime Major League Baseball hitting coach, most recently for the Yankees, a great baseball and football player for the University of Tennessee. Alan, are you on tomorrow with Doug?
I am, yeah, tomorrow, and then again Sunday morning with UT baseball.
Any parting shots for Coach Matthews on your way out here, since he's not on with us right now?
not at this time. I might a little bit later on, but not at this time.
I told Alan earlier this week. I said you are really getting Doug Matthews to branch out.
Yeah,
if he's talking baseball. Yes. Well,
yeah,
done, Alan.
Yeah, we've talked more baseball in the last 2 weeks than we did our whole lives.
Good job by you.
It's amazing.
We enjoyed the conversation.
Oh, yeah, baseball, that's good. That's great. Well, hey, let's go. Let's go throw the football around.
Alan, thank you for the time. We hope to do this again soon.
Awesome. I had a great time. Thanks, guys.